I In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
My God, in whom I trust.
through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You are not to eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone.
The epistles from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. By truthful speech and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Through honor and dishonor. Through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true. As unknown and yet well known. As dying and behold, we live. As punished and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
To you dressed in a red outfit with a pointy tail and pitchfork in hand. He is not obvious in his deceitful temptations. He's the father of lies and the master of half-truths. His strength is in his subtlety. His goal is not to get you to abandon Jesus, but to recreate Jesus into the image of your own choosing. His greatest success is not in creating atheists or believers in false gods, but in tricking people into believing they're Christians when they're not. And as we see in his temptation of our Lord Jesus, Satan will readily use the Bible itself in his trickery. We see evidence of Satan's success all around us today, dear friends. More and more Christians are falling prey to the old ancient foe every day. He points them to God's word and says with his slithering tongue, "See, right here in God's word, Jesus himself says, 'Judge not, lest ye be judged.' Thus, you have no right to judge anyone for doing anything at any time. And if you do judge, you are disobeying Jesus, the very Lord you claim to believe in." And people heartily sink their teeth into this rotten fruit served up by the old evil foe with great desire. They get ensnared in his web of deceit and begin believing that "judge not lest ye be judged" actually means that Christians should never call evil evil or sin sin. Never mind the fact that just 5 verses after our Lord says, "Judge not lest ye be judged," he says, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." One wonders how we identify the dogs and the pigs so that we don't give them what is holy or throw them our pearls if we are not allowed to judge them, to use God's word as our judgment. Is our Lord contradicting himself here? Of course not. When he says, "Judge not lest ye be judged," he's saying, don't play the Pharisee, thinking that you are somehow better or less sinful or more worthy of God's favor than others. You're not. You're a sinner. You need mercy and forgiveness and grace and compassion from me as much as anyone else. I came for sinners, not the self-righteous. Beware of the self-righteous, those who think they have no sins or they're good enough for God, for they are the dogs and the pigs, not because they're more sinful than you, O Christians, but because they refuse to acknowledge their sins and turn to me in repentance and faith. Don't give them the pearls, what is holy. Don't offer to them forgiveness, life, and salvation that I have won for all sinners, because they don't think they need it. They're content in their sins. Another popular saying, Satan has bewitched people into accepting in our day and age, as if it were biblical truth, is this: God is love. He loves all his children just the same, no matter what they believe or do or how they choose to live their lives or even by what name they call God. Sounds somewhat biblical, doesn't it? After all, St. John does tell us God is love. And we hear about God's love time and time again throughout Scripture. But what the devil is leaving out here is the fact that God shows his love for the world in a very specific way by sending his Son to live, die, rise, and ascend for sinners. If God is love meant what Satan has convinced a great many people to believe it means, the incarnation of the Son of God and his perfect life, sacrificial death, glorious resurrection, and ascension would be utterly meaningless. It would turn the saving work of the Son of God into a mockery. This right here would be completely unnecessary. How foolish and meaningless would it be for the Son of God to assume our human flesh, to bear our sins, and put them to death on the cross if God was committed to loving all people no matter what. Jesus could have just stayed in heaven and spared himself the mocking, spitting, flogging, and crucifying if it didn't matter what we believed or did or live, or how we lived our lives or by what name we call God. Another very popular tactic employed by the devil today is to get people to believe that Christians are hypocrites because they supposedly pick and choose which of God's laws are still in effect and don't follow all that God commands in the Bible. You hear this one time and time again. I call it the Leviticus litmus test. God gives the Israelites 603 laws in the Old Testament, most of them in Leviticus, in addition to the Ten Commandments. So the devil says, either you Christians follow all these laws today, or you're being hypocritical. You can't say that certain things are still sins, while other things aren't. It's a popular argument used today when it comes to certain sexual sins. How can you say sex before marriage or living together or homosexuality or other sexual lifestyles are still sinful because you read about that in Leviticus, but you have no problem eating shellfish or pork, which God also forbids and calls sinful in Leviticus? How can you say these things are still sinful, but you don't stone your unwed daughter when you find out that she is no longer a virgin? Or why don't you make brothers marry their deceased brothers' wives, and so forth? The devil will use the Bible to lead many astray. The answer to all of this is very, very simple. God himself distinguishes between the laws he gives. He separates them into three categories: moral laws, civil laws, and ceremonial laws. I'm not making this up. This is what he says in Scripture itself. The moral laws, the laws written onto the hearts of all the descendants of Adam, remain fully in effect for all. The civil and ceremonial laws do not, even as some of their underlying principles continue to guide us. The moral laws are universal. They are written onto the hearts of all, as I just said, even if many choose to deny them. The civil and ceremonial laws were given to the Israelites in that time and that place to govern them as a people. And we, dear friends, are freed from them in Christ. This isn't picking and choosing, and there isn't a hypocritical thing about distinguishing between these laws, because that's what God himself does. The devil has no problem with people identifying themselves as Christians, so long as being a Christian has little to do with the actual Christ of the Bible. He wants people to have a personal relationship with the Jesus of their own imaginations. The Jesus who loves them no matter what and wants them to live however they choose. The Jesus who wants them to be spiritual but not religious. The Jesus who doesn't call anything sin and wouldn't harm a fly. The Jesus who hung out with tax collectors and prostitutes and other sinners, not to call them to repentance and faith, but to affirm them for who they are and tell them it's okay to remain in your sins. The devil is a liar from the beginning. The Jesus he wants people to believe in doesn't exist. The real Jesus came in the flesh to stand toe to toe with the devil and overcome his temptations in our place. Satan is no match for the real Jesus, for Jesus knows the Scriptures better than he does. Jesus is the Scriptures. He is the incarnate Word of God. He throws the scriptures right back in Satan's face. Good try, devil, but you will not ensnare me with your out-of-text Bible quotes. I wrote the book, after all. In fact, I am the book. Go try that nonsense on someone else. I am here to do what the first Adam and his descendants have failed to do. I am here to look you square in the eye and overcome your temptations with the truth. I am here as a divine substitute for all sinners, that my defeat of you in this wilderness and my death blow to you some 3+ years later on the cross will count for all who repent and believe in me. My victory over you, O Satan, will be their victory. You will have no claim on them. They will be mine, not yours. I will suffer the darts of your temptation. I will bear the brunt of your attacks. I will experience the pain and death and hell so that they don't have to. It's why I've come, O devil, to let you take all your hatred and fury out on me in their place for their sins. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus has indeed defeated the devil in your place. He is your refuge and your fortress. There is no other God, no other valiant one, no other Savior. Jesus is not led by the Spirit into the wilderness of temptation to show you how you might defeat the devil on your own, for you cannot stand toe to toe with the devil and do battle with him on your own. You will lose. On earth is not his equal, as we just said. And you know this all too well. For how often have you tried to go toe-to-toe with the devil on your own and lost? How often have you entertained the doubts he's planted in your heads? How often have you taken a bite of the forbidden fruit because you were hungry for something more than God gives? How often has Satan convinced you to put God to the test, promising that you would truly believe if God would just get you that job, or help you with that relationship, or heal that illness, and so forth? How often have you lusted and daydreamed for more earthly riches or power, claiming that your life would be easier and you'd be more comfortable in your faith, and boy, would you do so much more for God if you just didn't have to worry about finances and stuff? Repent. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. Behold, now, today, is the favorable time. Now, today, is the day of salvation. Confess your sins. Plead for mercy. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Cling to Jesus and to him alone, for he is your mercy, your grace, your compassion, your salvation, and your victory. Sin is real, dear friends. So is temptation. So is the devil. And so is hell. The greatest trick the devil has pulled off in our day and age is to convince many that these things aren't real. But do not be deceived. Do not fall for his abysmal attempts to use the word of God against you. Do not play his game. He is a liar, and you know the truth, for the truth himself has been planted into you. You received that truth at baptism, and that truth is pledged and given to you time and time again as he himself absolves you and feeds you with himself. The truth has a name, and his name is Jesus. He is a real Savior for real sinners. And his salvation is delivered to you here today as he fills your hungry bellies with the sweet honey of his word, and with his very body and blood in the Holy Supper. You need not put God to the test here in his holy house, for he freely gives forgiveness, life, and salvation with no strings attached to all who repent and believe. As St. Paul said in the epistle, he puts no obstacles before you. There are no prerequisites that you must accomplish. There is nothing that you must do but repent and believe in Jesus. And here you are assured of something even greater than all the kingdoms of this dead and dying world, for your inheritance here is given to you, and it is Christ's kingdom, which has no end. Cling to Jesus. That's going to get harder and harder as the days go on. More and more people are abandoning our Lord. But you must cling to him. He is your rescue from sin, your victory over temptation, your defeat of the devil, and your refuge from hell. Learn to pray this Lent and always. Lead us not into temptation, our Father, but lead us into the one who conquered the tempter for us and continues to deliver us from the evil one, even Jesus Christ, our Sabaoth Lord. In him is our victory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. temptation of your Son, he forsook the trophies of this world to cling steadfast to the one thing needful, the Word of God. Grant that especially in an affluent society, we may always remember that where our treasures are, there will our hearts be also. By grace, may our greatest treasure always be your gifts of forgiveness and eternal salvation through Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O loving Father, there are many around us who are in desperate need. We remember especially those who are unemployed, underemployed, and who are struggling to receive their daily bread with thanksgiving. Grant that all of your people, in want or in wealth, may look to you alone as the one who meets our every need and who graciously provides all that we require to support this body and life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of the Church, you have established the office of the Holy Ministry to bring the gifts of the Gospel to the people of God. Grant us a deep appreciation for the work of our pastors. Help us to see them as workers together in the same vineyard, as stewards of the mysteries of God, and as faithful shepherds of your flock, that our pastors may rightly deliver and your people may joyfully receive all the gifts that Christ freely gives in his Church. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord God, you have established the kingdoms of this world to reward good and punish evil. Grant us good government as part of our daily bread. Make our public servants faithful in all that they do, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness. Be with those who serve in our military, including Gabriel Blair, Derek Brown, Dustin Majewski, Christopher Shaw, and Justin Wyborn, that they may serve with integrity and in honor. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, there are many around us who have various needs, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Joan Virch, Bill Harmon, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Shirley Curry, Scott McCollum, Landon Culp, Fred Glazer, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Call, Albert Call, Phil Warsop, Lee G., David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Shaw, Pastor Dan Chambers, Rosemary Reichardt, Sally Messer, Michelle Johnson, Matt Boffman, Chris Woodrow, Jerry Howard, Miriam Sohn, and Brenda Netsley. Fix their eyes on you as the one who alone can rescue them from any peril. Grant us daily prayer for those in need, whether in this congregation, in the larger communion of saints, or throughout the world. Spare us, good Lord, for you alone can fight for us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have left us the very body and blood of your dear Son for us Christians to eat and to drink. Grant penitent hearts and steadfast faith to all who receive this most holy sacrament at this holy altar this day, that they may learn from this holy meal to love God, to believe that only Christ could make satisfaction for our sins, and to love their neighbors as themselves. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Deliver from death and the grave, receive this day our humble thanks for all your children whom your Spirit has kept in saving faith through the Word and who now rest from their labors. Bring us to share with them the joys of your unending feast. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give
thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared to joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and in truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ.
Little Christ the shepherd.
The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ shepherd.
The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ shepherd.
The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ shepherd.
The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ shepherd.
The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ shepherd.
Thank you.
this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Mm-hmm.